Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, and our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain. Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, and joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and altogether just fantastic human being, Ronnie Karam of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast, which is coming back this January when The Bachelor comes back. Hey, Ronnie, what's up?
Hi, Ben. What you doing, baby?
Oh, you know, just bracing for a very fun weekend that we're about to have because we are going to meet each other in St. Louis. We are going to St. Louis this weekend. First, for our Friday night show, we are doing Real Housewives of Dallas, in case you didn't hear. That's going to be so fun. There's like 5 tickets left or something, and something crazy low. So we're really excited about that. Home of Andy Cohen and Tom Sandoval. So, dude, you better come see us. Get those last few tickets. And then on Saturday, we're going to Philadelphia. We're doing 2 shows. The early show is Real Housewives in New Jersey, and the late show is a classic Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're doing Season 2, Episode 14, Malibu Beach Party from Hell. Really just to, you know, just to piggyback on Taylor Armstrong taking over the internet. This is the episode where Taylor Armstrong screams at an invisible cat that later becomes visible 10 years later. It's that episode. Where if you've seen the meme, you know what we're talking about. So that's in Philly. The early show in Philly is sold out, sorry to say, but the late show does have tickets. That's going to be great. Philadelphia was one of our best crowds of 2018, so we're excited to go back. And also, speaking of the Eastern Seaboard, tomorrow, Friday, tickets go on sale for 2 big shows that are happening in May. Asbury Park, New Jersey, you know, famous Asbury Park, Jersey Shore, Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen, and now Watch What Crappens. That goes on sale, and then what could be our biggest show of all time, the Lincoln Theater in Washington, D.C. Y'all better come see us there. We are going, doing a D.C. show on May 2nd, so both those shows go on sale Friday morning at, I think, 10 a.m., but if you're on Patreon, you actually can get your tickets now already, so hey, that's really cool. WatchWhatCrappens.com to get all those tickets, and then real quickly, here are the rest of the shows that we're doing, and if you hear your city, come. Next week, it's finally happening, we have Denver on Thursday, and then Seattle on Friday. The Seattle show is also a huge one. That's going to be like, that could be up to 700 people. There are still tickets available in the balcony for that one, so super cool for that one. And then we resume our touring in the new year on the 17th with the Golden Crappies in Los Angeles, California, and then Detroit, Columbus, Two shows in Austin, Houston, the Birmingham area, Alabama, New Orleans. Ooh, I'm so excited for that one. Kansas City, Omaha, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, Oklahoma, and as we just mentioned, Asbury Park and Washington, D.C. So really, really fun stuff coming up. Get your tickets for next week. Get your tickets for this weekend. Get your tickets for D.C., wherever, or just... Or, like, have a margarita. I don't care. But, like...
Do whatever you want.
Go to watchagrapas.com.
What are we, your boss?
Yeah, yeah. You do you, okay? And we're going to do us.
Yeah. Preferably, you do you with us. It's going to be so fun.
It actually really will be fun. So, so that's that. And, of course, merch and stuff and all the good stuff. Patreon, watchagrapas.com. Our bonus. We had so much fun. We took the Summer House trailer, went by shot, and it was really fun. We had a really good time with that. So that's on Patreon.
We did. And it was also a video. So we did video recaps this week of that Summer House. We did two Real Housewives of Orange County videos and a Real Housewives of New Jersey video. So if you want those, get a Crappens on Demand over on El Patreon. And thanks to everybody who supports that. There's also still merch. Go get your Ramona merch and your Christmas and Hanukkah merch, Ramona leggings,
yeah,
Shannon Bull shirts, all that stuff over at CrappensMerch.com. And now, Ben.
I know.
What do you now?
The recap everyone's been waiting all week for. Married to Medicine.
Married to Medicine.
So
hosted by Lisa Vanderpool.
So here's the thing with Married to Medicine. I mean, we always say this. The season always starts off so well, and then it just sort of like runs out of gas. And watching this episode while they're on their couples trip, you know, I think one of the issues is it kind of sometimes feels like we're watching someone else's home videos, right? It's just like, hey, here we are. We're hanging out and we're playing a couples game. We're asking questions about what do you think about this relationships? I was like, that's nice. I don't care that much though. Like I have a hard time caring about when they talk about couples issues. I think the show is better when we're dealing with actual issues the women are having between themselves. Like, I mean, the Scott and Contessa stuff I thought was actually pretty interesting because they're going through some real shit. But outside of that, like, I don't know. I'm like, it's just not the most compelling content to watch them, like, put a crown on Quad, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this show cracks my ass up most of the time. And this week it did.
So funny.
There's been a couple of weeks this year where I'm like, okay. But this week I was cracking up mostly just because we get to see Heavenly losing her shit, which is always one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And getting mad at Daddy, you know?
Right.
And I love Daddy. You know, it also had one of the best lines in all of Daddy's life on this show, where he's like, my name is Daddy, not Poppy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like funny. It's still funny. The interviews are always very, very funny. But it's funny, but not necessarily compelling. That's my issue with where it is right now. And so this sort of happens every season because I think there's also maybe a misguided idea that like, we're all as interested in this couples trip concept as they are. Maybe people are. Maybe I'm the outlier here. But I have to say, like, I like when casts go on vacation, but every vacation is always the same thing. They go somewhere tropical. That there's a bunch of, like, questions that are, like, taken from, like, a board game, right? Like, remember that game Scruples? That's what this is. And it's like that. Like, every single season, it's the same questions with the same stupid debates. Someone always gets up from the table. Mariah usually airs a grudge from 3 years ago. I don't know.
Mariah's been pretty quiet on this trip, actually.
Yeah.
Right? She hasn't had a fit yet, which is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
She's keeping quiet, which...
So far.
I don't know. You know, I've said shut up, Mariah, probably 900 times this season, so I get that me saying, why is Mariah being so quiet? It's like... a weird question, but, you know, still, look, what the hell, Mariah?
Yeah.
Are you going to come to work or not? It's not that I have a problem with you yelling. Just yell about better things. Okay?
Yeah.
I didn't mean for you to take it this far, Mariah. Okay.
The point is this. I mean, at least last year, the couple strip had some sort of like, you know, kamikaze crab that caused Toya to launch into an attack on Contessa's breasts. We don't even have any crustaceans around or mollusks. Or bivalves.
Oh, God.
Let's start it up. So we left off last week with a very, very intriguing cliffhanger. What would happen during Mexican Messy Boots, which is the new game that Simone has come up with. She basically has written a bunch of messy questions, but no one should take them personally, even though they are extremely
totally personal.
Directed at personal experiences. Yes. It should be about they having fun.
Yeah, they are 100% personal, ma'am. Okay, yeah. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but...
So we have like a little bit of an overlap of some of the stuff that happened last week, but we once again got to see Damon and Heavenly being asked about, like, if one spouse cheats, is it okay for the other spouse to cheat and, like, sort of make it even? And Daddy, once again, is like, I guess I understand why people do that. I mean, you know, and then just gets that look from Heavenly. And he's like, no. It's not right.
Yeah. Doesn't make it right. Heavenly eating off her bottom lip. Like, is this really the answer you want to give? Really? Yeah. And he's like, well, what I meant to say is it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it even. And, Simone's like, you know, these questions are messy as hell. They are messy, but the best way to earn trust is to get it all out on the table.
I mean, I can't.
So then Quad, it cuts to Quad's face, and Quad must have just made some face at Daddy that they didn't show, because her face is completely still and her head is kind of jutted out, but her earrings are both going wonk, 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 wonk. And then Cecil brings it around to, of course we're talking about the men, because of course the woman's not going to cheat. And Contessa's like, yeah, the woman wouldn't get caught. Yeah. And Heavenly's like, that is right. She's like, I'm not a cheater, but if I didn't, I wouldn't get caught. Come on now. Women are smarter than men. Women are three steps ahead. Women play chess every day.
Yeah.
Men are not detail oriented.
So there may be some truth to that. So then here's a question. David, it's to David, who's Buffy's husband. It's like, David, would you ever agree to a spouse living in another city without you? And he's like, well, I was traveling quite a bit. And while it was certainly challenging, you have to make sure you can get back and forth and keep the relationship strong. You know, Buffy, I would go visit Buffy, and that's how we did it. And Scott just like mutters beneath his breath. He's like, well, they don't have kids. Big difference.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, we just got through this whole infertility thing. I mean, I know that's not what you're saying, but like, and you do have a point, but let's like not go into that area.
Yes. That's true. I was like, you're a dick. But then I thought, well, it is different having three kids. And you know what Contessa really did wrong in this? That episode where she came home and he was dealing with all the kids going crazy and she gave him shit for all the stuff he wasn't doing. You know, that's where Contessa's really falling down in this argument. You know, then she gave him a lot of shit. She was like, well, I would have had that dishes done or whatever she was saying to him. Like, I would have had, what was she mad at?
I don't know. I'm actually really on Contessa's side during this whole thing.
Oh, we're going to fight for this, because I'm not. I knew you were going to fight. Contessa's being a huge fucking asshole.
No.
And someone says something on Facebook that I agree with. I think that she wasn't doing well in school, and that's why she quit, because he never told her to quit. She's acting like he made her quit, and there's no reason she had to go all the way to Nashville to do this in the first place. I think it's a bunch of bullshit when you have three little kids.
No, I think that, first of all, I agree that she shouldn't have quit. I don't like that it was a very passive-aggressive move. That will always be against her. That's always a strike against her. But I think that, like this whole, like, there's such a presumption. They're like, well, she's got three kids, so she shouldn't go to Nashville. But like, if the dad did it, if Scott did it, he had to go to a program in Nashville, people would be like, well, you know, the mom's gonna hold down the fort. I just don't think that's like, I think there is a double standard there. And
well, for me personally, I get that. I don't disagree with you that there is a double standard. Like, obviously I would have to agree with that. But for me, I would say he shouldn't go either. Like, that's
okay.
That's
well,
crazy,
if that is your feeling, then I think then that is a fair, because that's your standpoint, I think that makes sense. But I think that, like, if she was going to the best program in the country and she wanted to go there, and then, like, I guess what's unclear is how much discussion they had about it, which is also a little bit of Scott's problem, because, like, if she just up and does it, he's sort of been saying, like, oh, well, I was cool with her going to a program, but I didn't realize she'd be going to Nashville. He's sort of acting like, oh, I don't know, like, because he could also ask. He could also, like, be like, where are you applying? You know, there's, like, something, like, a little bit too, like, defenseless about his argument about, like, oh, well, she just, like, She just went to Nashville. I didn't realize. I'm kind of like, that's like a little bullshitty to me. I mean, it just sounds like clearly they didn't discuss. And there's, you know, that's a deeper issue. That's really not a blame game situation. That's just like, oh, you guys have to fix that. But I don't know.
Well, my thing isn't really the yelling. It's the attitude about it. It's like, well, oh, you're mad. You're well, fine. I quit to make you happy. He's like, well, I never made you quit. But I mean, I think the guy's allowed to be a little frustrated when he's busting his ass, taking care of these kids. And then she comes home and bitches at him that he's not doing it well enough, you know? And then he's like, well, what the hell? He never told her to quit. He was just saying it's getting
frustrating. That's a double standard, too, because that also happens. And I guess I'm speaking more generally, you know, but, like, it does happen, too, where, like, there are, like, so many people who are so many working women who then also are, like, you know, they are taking care of their kids, too, and, like, a husband comes home and then still has, like, a few more notes for her. And it's, like, that happens a lot, and we see it on Bravo a lot. And I'm not saying that, therefore, she's allowed to do it, but I think it is – I think that when it's, like, when the woman is doing it, she gets a lot more heat for it. And I don't – I kind of don't think it's fair. I think that, like, both should be able to be a nag equally.
Well, I haven't given her heat for it so far this year that much.
I know, this is like a new thing.
My thing isn't like a generalized man and women discussion. My comments are their particular discussion.
But, you know, there's also...
Or their particular couple.
No, I know.
I think she's acting like a fucking asshole.
But there is also a flip side.
All men and all women or the double standard of all general blah, blah, blah. I'm saying I think Contessa's a fucking asshole. And last year when she wanted to go part-time, she did that. It's like I've seen her be able to do kind of whatever she wants. But then I think she's just blaming him too much for her quitting school thing. And I don't like it.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I don't like that she blames him. But I also think there's another way of looking at it, which is like okay, he's like taking care of the kids. Like there's almost like this quality. There could be a way of looking at it that like, okay, just because you are like literally feeding the kids, that does not then mean you've then checked the box of like all the responsibilities you said you'd be doing, right? Like you said you were going to pick up the slack from me while I was gone, and actually all you're doing is you're feeding the kids, but the house is in disarray, and I am like doing this program, and I come back, and then as soon as I get back, I have to start doing all the shit that you weren't doing when I was able to do both those things when I was here. Like, so I actually think I see
well,
what
no,
you're saying, but
because,
I think it could work. I think it could go the other way around, too.
But just to correct you, what that fight was that he had cooked dinner for the kids. He had already made dinner, and she went to get fast food and brought a bunch of fast food home for them. And he's like, what do you – I just cooked.
Now that, yeah,
you
that
know?
Was –
And
yeah.
So then she got mad at him for mentioning that he would like why would you do that? It's like a dick move, you know?
Right, well, that's –
To act
that
like
was...
he's not doing anything, so –
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that one, I mean, that one was, yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like every man and woman. I just think this particular situation, she's making it like she comes in front of the group and acts like such a victim in front of the group, like, oh, you know, blah, 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 such a double standard. Well, you're the one who quit. He never told you to quit. And if he hadn't said, I never told her to quit, she's acting like he did. You know, like she had to give it up for him.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and I don't think anyone's
like,
given her a pass about that. I don't think anyone has given her a pass. But I think, though, that it didn't sound like he really was that supportive. And I actually think that Buffy is the one who had the best read on this, which is that when she said, you know, maybe like what your version of support is and what his version of support is not the same. And that's why you're having problems, because he thinks he is being supportive. And what he doesn't realize is that what Contessa needs of support is different than what he's offering, which is ultimately what's smartest about that take is that, like, it's not really a who's right or who's wrong. It's like, oh, you guys have different expectations. Like, when we find out that he never visited her, he never went up to Nashville once with the kids ever, that's not great in my mind. I actually don't think that's great. And I think that does not show the sort of support that you should be showing like a spouse.
True, but that's also dragging three kids in a car. You know, it's like taking three kids anywhere is hell. Taking three kids to Nashville, it's like, oh, I don't know. It sounds like,
but I think
hell.
That like
he's probably just like, dude, I'm doing enough.
I don't know. I think that like, I think it's doable. I think that like, the point is this: they obviously have not discussed what they want and what they need from support. And like, even if they found like a babysitter for the kids or brought the kids to wherever, and he just went up there alone, it just sounds like, you know, it doesn't sound like he was the most supportive, and she responded passive aggressively, which it was probably an indictment on the larger communication issues of their relationship.
Yeah. Well, and then she's saying to Buffy, when Buffy pulls her aside, she's like, you know, it's just not the same. Like, he thinks he doesn't have this old-fashioned view of how it's supposed to go, but he does. Like, his mom was the youngest of 10 kids, and he has a view of, like, what it's supposed to, what the man is and what the woman is, mm-hmm. You know, which I could definitely understand.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that he gets a pass just because, I mean, she did something really passive-aggressive by quitting and sort of implying that it was his fault, but he doesn't get a pass for, like, it's not like, I think that he also contributed to this situation.
And... Well, I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just, sometimes I feel like, especially with this discussion, it's always like, men are this way and women are this way. And I think in this specific situation, Contessa's just fucking getting on my nerves. Like, mm-hmm. I think she's acting like a jackass. And I think she's constantly throwing her husband under the bus. And it's bugging me. Like, this week it just bugged me more than it normally does.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know. It's married to medicine. Something's going to bug one of us at some point.
Yeah, Contessa was just bugging me. What can I tell?
I could tell. When I was watching this, I was like, I'm on Contessa's side, and I guarantee she's driving Ronnie nuts right now. Like, I knew it.
Yeah, she's making me crazy. It's like she takes an inch. It's like last year when she's like, oh, Toya, purposely. Yeah. You know, she's ridiculous. Mad at me. She purposely hit me in the breast when she knows I just had surgery. It's like, oh, come on, Lynn, get off it. She's, yeah.
It's Toya. She's frightened of crabs.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, anyway, the next question is, Scott, what would happen if your spouse yelled at you in public? And he's like, well, women have a propensity to yell in public anyway. It just, like, cuts to Contessa's face, and she's furious. Like, how
and then you? Scott loses me again. You know? Like, and done with you.
Yeah. So, yeah, and basically, she's like, are you saying you've never yelled at public in public? And she just says that when he yells, she walks away. So, again, communication issues.
Yeah. And then Simone's like, I would never, ever yell in public. And then it's like a clip. It's like a montage of Simone yelling in public.
Yeah. Yeah. And Toya goes, she don't yell like I don't throw biscuits. And then it's like a flashback of Toya throwing biscuits at Eugene. Which is really... It's a flashback we should go back to more often, just her throwing biscuits. It's like Eugene's greatest nightmare.
And then the other ladies, while Contessa was still gone, I'm sorry, I'm a little jumbled in my notes, but they were telling Scott, like, look, you know, Quad said, you have two jobs. You know, you have a father and you have a husband, and you're doing really well as a father, but you need to work more on the husband part. And I, you know, I like that they're still kind of sticking up for their friend without being...
Well,
like two, you know.
Well, I mean, because I mean, that's the thing is that like it gets back to Buffy's statement, which is that like he is thinking that by being a good father, he's providing the support, but he's not giving the support that Contessa needs, and Contessa is not articulating to Scott what she needs from him. So there, speak more. So then, now Simone asked that question, which she did at the end of last episode about like, do you need your spouse's permission to change careers or whatever? Et cetera, et cetera. And that's when everyone is like interrupting each other, being like, no, here's what I think. These things affect a household. So you got to talk about it. No, no, no. Here's what I think. You have to talk about it. Wait. I like to say something. You have to talk about it. Okay.
Yeah. And are we done? Are you done with the dinner part or lunch?
Well,
there
are lunch or whatever. Well, so basically. I think what made me laugh was that, so after all, so like Contessa leaves, she leaves the table at one point because that's her thing. And that's when Buffy goes to console her, and Contessa's like crying and talking to Buffy, et cetera, et cetera. And she's also, by the way, she's also saying that she basically left the military for Scott. So I'm sure you enjoyed that, her putting that onto Scott also. And so,
it's just like, oh, I'm such a victim. Like, I didn't want to leave the Navy because I really like to travel. But, you know, we were long distance the whole time. This was actually interesting. And let me take back the victim part because the whole thing wasn't like this. But it was just interesting hearing their story. Like, she met Scott. Then they were long distance the whole time they dated and for the first year of their marriage. And then he moved to Atlanta for her, but then after the second baby, he said, I don't want to move anymore because it's disruptive to the family, so I got out of the military. But Like, to me, that's reasonable. Like, you have two kids, like, moving all the time.
I think that is a reasonable
request
there. I actually do.
And
I agree.
She's, you know, and she's kind of making it like, I make all the sacrifices for every, you know, it's always me. But that's, like, normal. Like, you get married, you start having kids, it's normal to want to stop moving around. So some of the stuff, I'm like, well, what do you
I mean,
say
there are
wrong?
Well, there are military brats, and there are people who, like, you know, like they spend their childhood traveling all over the place. So it's something that also can go the other way, and it, like, is fine. But I mean, I guess she did make a sacrifice, even though it was a reasonable sacrifice. But either way, so she's basically like crying with Buffy, and then Simone, like, they're all back at like the table, and Simone's like, well, I want to thank everyone. This was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. I'm like, so Contessa's like crying over by the staircase. And Simone's like, well, that was fun.
This was stimulating. Now, Cecil has a great evening planned for the men. I've already ruined one marriage, and I'm going for the second tonight. Daddy and Heavenly are next.
Yeah. So then, you know, in the spirit of keeping us awake, we then get, like, a shot of Buffy shaving David's back for the night.
Oh, jeez.
Poor David. He's like...
Poor me. How about that? How about poor Ronnie had to sit
poor listeners
that,
who have to listen to me cough like that. Sorry, everyone. Poor all of us.
Oh. Poor everybody. So then Simone is checking on Michael, and he's taking care of the house, the Airbnb. And she's like, I am so proud of you for being such a big boy.
He's like that knocking everything over in the house. Like, pillows are everywhere, cans, like maple syrup spills. You have done a great job.
So then Contessa is doing work. She's emailing, and Scott calls the kids and shows off his cool seashell bed.
Yeah. And then, but the music's very serious because this is supposed to underline the distance that they have between each other, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's nighttime. And now everyone's getting ready. Mariah and Aiden are in pastels. There's like a lot of like cast members talking into their cell phones. Like, it's a lot of selfie. Like, the producers were like, you know what? We want to get a margarita. You guys just shoot the show yourself.
Yeah, we're exhausted. Here's some Buffy cams, okay? Buffy gets a cam. Mariah gets a cam. But then Simone and Cecil had their own cameraman. And I was like, now that's a star.
Well, they're like, listen, if Cecil's going to be wearing that shirt, we need to give it proper lighting because it is a monstrosity. And people really need to see this in its proper form. I mean, what did you see that shirt?
Of course.
Oh, my God. What was it? It was like purple plaid, but then it had like another pattern on top of it, and then on the back was almost like a skull. It was one of the worst things we've ever seen.
Like, when I sleep and I have nightmares about my past, like, you know, waiting tables, places I worked mostly, like, I have work nightmares, like, I can't wait enough tables, I can't get to everyone. Or like when I was working at the bowling alley, we had midnight bowl. That's what this nightmare was. It was like a midnight bowl nightmare of a shirt.
Yeah, I had a dream about the zombie apocalypse last night, and I think it was probably because I saw this shirt. It's almost like scrambled cable, you know, where it's like you sort of can see something like, is that a skull in there? Is that a thing? I was like, oh, no, that's plaid. Wait, no, it's changed again. What is it?
You're like, wait a minute. Why am I suddenly worshiping Satan? Like, it's totally brainwashed you.
Cecil, please burn it. Simone, do us a favor. Find it. Burn it.
Yeah. So Cecil, okay, so they're going to do a man and woman night. So the women, Simone has planned a living single celebration, which at first I thought was a TV show too.
Same. That's
what Mariah says later. She's like, I thought it was a TV show. And I was like, good choice.
Yeah,
I'd go
cool?
to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's to celebrate Quad, because last year she was addicted to Quad. And she phrases it, of course, like, Quad had to be going through a lot last year, and I was not there for Quad. And then they just show Simone being a monster about Quad coming on the trip.
Well, poor Quad's going through a divorce.
What is she gonna do on a singles trip or on a couples trip?
They were so mean to Quad. I mean, they were like, this woman's going through a divorce from this like awful Dr. Gregory, like the mole man himself, and they're just like, you can't come on this trip. So rude.
Yeah.
So
Cecil's plan is to take the guys to a strip club, which I really do think this is just to set Heavenly up for a fight, because no one else would really care, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's also like to fill the episode with like, you know, 10 minutes of content. They're like, we can have some tits on the screen. So So now the guys are going out. So David's the first one ready. He's like sitting on a bench, like all like waiting. He's like apparently got there like 10 minutes early. And everyone's like, whoa.
And yeah, Cecil says he's from a different culture. He's like, when you say 6 o'clock to him, he shows up at 6 o'clock. That's weird.
Yeah. And then Eugene is very excited. He's like, I'm just happy to be away from the drama and the bickering and the games. Because you know these husbands can't. They're like, we just want to go to Cabo and like drink. We don't want to have to sit through these stupid Milton Bradley relationship question games. Please.
Eugene's so full of shit. He's always like, these women, every time there's women, the women are fighting. Women are just always so womanly. I'm always fighting. Like, he says it every scene. It's like, Eugene, you're the biggest woman on this. You and Aiden get together and, like, sit there
now, don't
and
be
gossip
problematic.
With each other about...
Don't well, conform you're, to you're gender
both,
roles,
you're both
Ronnie.
The stereotype that you're bitching about is yeah. what I mean. Like, they're but, being like, oh, women, they're just so naggy.
But Eugene is so
they're
cute.
They're always yelling. And then they just act exactly like that stereotype.
See, I'm okay with it because Eugene already has to deal with Toya so much. And then he always, when he complains, he does that thing where he shakes his head. Like, he's like a dog, like, trying to, like, get dry. He's always like... No more games. He, like, shakes his whole body, and he's just, like, so cute, and he's just, like, he just wants to enjoy a night out. I don't know. I always have great
until he, like, starts shit and starts gossiping every single time.
That's more of Aiden. That's Aiden's role.
Eugene does it this time. He's like, these women, all they do is fight and talk about drama, and then the first thing he does when he sits down to dinner, he's like, no yelling women. Look at this. Here we are without those women yelling, and then the first thing he does is like, so how do you feel about the fight today?
That's true. Well, either way, I mean, listen, the only people who gossip more than women are men, so let's
be
honest.
The truth. We proved that one to be true.
Yeah, exactly. So that they go off to their dinner, and then the ladies go to some sort of beachy restaurant or just like in beach area, and Simone shows up with like a giant bag of props, of course. I mean, first of all, I mean, how much the luggage that they have to send, but all this props and things like that, like...
What is this, a Watch What Crappens live show?
Yeah, exactly. You know I love a prop moment at our live shows. Ronnie gets annoyed at me sometimes. I'm like, let's go to CVS and see if they have like a bowling ball and some pins and we can throw them at the audience. And it always kills, Ronnie.
It does. They're always fun. Simone always does have a bag of props.
Yeah.
For sure.
The difference is that like I like props for a show, a performance, right? She likes props for dinner.
Yeah. The only person who likes props more than her is Jackie. You know Jackie loves a meaningful prop.
Yeah, she's still trying to figure out a way to make custom fortune cookies, I guarantee. She's like, each one of you will open up a fortune cookie, and it will tell you something about yourself.
Each one will have a problem that we need to fix with inside ourselves.
And you were going to put your two fortune cookie halves into this top hat. And then you see that stick that has a lobster claw on it. Each one of you is going to put that in and take out a fortune cookie half. And then match with the other fortune cookie half. Don't eat it. Otherwise the game falls apart.
So they are kind of sitting around waiting for this to happen on the beach. Or having a catered party on the beach. And Ack. I was like, Ack, what a great writer. What a great recapper.
Jackie.
Sorry. Jackie is talking to Buffy, and she's like, now I want to say this before the group gets here. I did make my pain your purpose, and I was wrong to say that without your permission. And she's like, thank you. I think that Jackie knows etiquette and how to be nice, and I appreciate that. But she should understand as a doctor that my pain is up for me to discuss and not her. And which is fair point.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very fair point.
And good apology, Jack.
Good apology, Jack. Well, of course she does. And she uses a lot of P words. I like that. You know, she likes an alliteration, right? She's like, I made my pain your purpose, and I put that on you without permission while wearing purple. We're talking to people. Plural
pain,
word.
Your pain is my purpose. Yeah, she likes saying that.
Porpoise. Do you see a porta potty or is a porpoise? There's a porpoise near that peninsula. Got a Peabody Award.
I was trying to think of one, but I'm literally too
is
stupid.
Is that a platypus? Platypus in the pebble tile on the pebbles. There's platypus on the pebbles with a peacock and a parasol. Just Mariah's
Peter Potter picked a pepper. But Peter Piper pizza.
But
see, can't
if
do it.
Peter, if Peter was paying attention to his weight, he never would have had the peppers or the pizza. And now he has pulmonary heart disease.
Peter Piper is not the new It.
Piper is not pin.
New It.
Pinty. Guys,
so,
I'm totally going to be involved.
You can do it, man.
Oh my God. It was like a surprise attack of like, it was like, we are going to clear the phlegm.
I believe in you and you.
Anyway.
Okay, so the guys are cheering. And this is, yeah, Eugene is again like, no yelling women, thank God. And then they start laughing about the edible undies that Daddy won.
Yeah.
And David was like, what's that?
No, I was saying, yeah.
Oh, and David's like, they were made out of gummies. We made them with fruit roll-ups back in the day. Those were way more delicious. And they start cracking up.
Yeah, they're like, also, but they're all like, ooh. And then they're like, we have to ask David, like, with the women, what, where do you stand? He's like, well, Buffy will always do her own thing, and I'm always going to support her. So, yeah. I'm like, okay.
And I just wrote, nice try, Eugene. That's what I was trying to say earlier. Eugene trying to be messy. You know, he's like, so there was some discord with the women. Are we good? He's like, oh, Eugene.
So then the women are getting, the women are then eating paella. And then Contessa's like, ladies, I just want to apologize for acting out at the messy boots questions thing. And everyone's like, yeah, this isn't your scene. Bye. So
We're not asking you about this again. So drop it, Contessa. Okay. Yeah. You've had enough.
So Simone goes, so tonight we are going to have a living single celebration. And everyone's like, huh?
Yeah. And Contessa says, what does that look like? And Simone tells Quad, did you hear me? Because Quad's just staring off like, I'm so bored. I'm so bored.
And then they're like, oh, we thought you were talking about the TV show. She's like, no, but it is a play on words. I'm like, that's not really a play on the words. You just use the TV, you use the title in there. And so Mariah goes, if this were a show about the TV show Living Single, I'd be Queen Latifah and Quad would be Pearl from 227, which I was like, oh my goodness. Mariah just went up a whole lot in my book just by making that reference.
Hey, Mary. Just hanging out the window. Hey, Mary, let's just home already.
You know that Mariah.
I love Pearl for 227.
I know. God, I love that whole. You know, I have one of my ringtones is the 227 theme song. So there. Just to prove my devotion. And also the Amen theme song. Amen theme song, one of the most underrated ones. I think that I will resurrect my blog to do a list of like top 10 underrated theme songs. And Amen might be at the very top. Or Mr. Belvedere. Can't say. You guys can stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with Murder, She Wrote.
Okay, that's fair.
So there's no words.
That's okay. I was gonna put what's it called? I was gonna say Look Who's Talking. No, what was the takes place in Philadelphia? Speaking of Philadelphia, What's Happening? Instrumental, amazing theme song.
Oh.
You know how, remember how it goes?
Oh, my brain doesn't remember all of these.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And then, like, repeat, like, five times.
Yeah. Okay, so they're having a living single party, and it is to show love and support and real friendship to Quad because you missed that last year. And Quad's like, oh, Jesus, how the hell did they get Mariah down here?
Yeah, and Mariah's just like eating a Subway sandwich.
Party.
Mariah somehow found like a foot long and is just like eating it like, I'm not participating in this. So now it's time to like give speeches. So Heavenly's like, Quad, I just want to say that you're lying. I'm like, Daddy, who's probably at a strip club right now. And I just want to say you pushed through in a way that a lot of us probably couldn't.
Yeah. And she has gotten her a crown. And it looks like, at first, it's a crown and a wand. But at first, it looks like a dick crown. Yeah. And I thought they were doing a bachelorette party thing where they were like going to give her bachelorette party things. But no, yeah. It's a real crown. And Quad's like, that is an ugly ass crown. Like, what the hell?
What do you want, Quad? I mean, do you want like what, you want something from Portugal? Like, it's from Rite Aid. Okay.
But they also did give her a rechargeable vibrator. That's so, you know, they were, you know, yeah. They went with it.
So then over with the men, the guys are talking about threesomes. Would they ever do a threesome, whatever? And so Eugene is like, you know, in a sexual way, it sounds fun and amazing. But in a practical way, when these women get at you, then they're fussing. I love when Eugene talks about fussing. He always says it. He's like, oh, then there's all that fussing. So much fussing. I can't deal
with
the fussing.
They're a fussing mess. These women and all their fussing.
So much fussing. Oh. Fussing, fussing, fussing. And Cecil, meanwhile, Cecil's face is just like, he's clearly like mid-fantasy as Eugene is talking. He's like, yeah. Uh-huh. Like clearly yeah. His mind is like somewhere else, and Curtis is like salivating. Curtis like has his tongue
Curtis
just, like,
for real. Yeah, Curtis this whole episode yeah. I was like, Curtis is gonna cheat. Yeah, like literally with anything. Like Curtis would fuck a sand crab right now.
Yeah, like his boner was pretty much just like popping up in the entire show.
So in the diary room, Damon's like, nope, that's a no on that one. Heavenly's like, that's the right answer, baby.
Yeah.
And Toria says that she would have a threesome with Alicia Keys, but Eugene's like, that would be a twosome because they'd kick me out. And then probably fight with each other because they're women.
And then David is like, I think a twosome or the occasional onesome is just fine. And then Cecil tells a story, which is pretty funny. I don't know if it's a story or a joke. He goes, you know, my buddy was talking about wanting to have a third party, and he brought up with his wife, and she said, where are you going to find him?
And they're like, what? Gayness? Oh!
I was like, hot.
Male on male gayness? That is crazy.
That's what I always think is so funny, which is that, like, if it's two women, it's a threesome, but if it's two men, it's double teaming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tag team or whatever. I don't know.
So Simone was like, yeah, we've had a threesome. Me, Cecil, and Sam. And I was like, don't make those jokes while we've got Portia's storyline running concurrently. You know? Too many dog sex jokes.
Yeah, too much. Too much. So now the women are going to play Shag, Mary, Kill, Mary, Shag, Kill, whatever. Which was kind of funny because their selections were kind of... They amused me. So Contessa is like, she would shag Michael Strahan, marry Will Smith, and then choke Vladimir Putin. Which is funny because, like, I mean, like, Vladimir Putin is like the arch enemy of our time right now at this moment, right? He's like the arch villain. So, like, yeah, I think probably most people would choke Vladimir Putin, but he's like so like clearly like a like this big world leader, you know, who's like clearly bad. It just is like a. It just was like, it just felt like she took the game to a very strange place when she said that, you know? Right? Yeah. It was like not the context of like, you usually do like three people who are, well, first of all, you're supposed to give them the options. You're supposed to choose three and let them choose, not just say, oh, come up with three random people. So they were playing it wrong.
Yeah, they were playing this game incorrectly, and they wouldn't even call it Shag, Mary, Kill because Heavenly said, we shouldn't kill anybody. So now it's Shag, Mary, Choke, which is, how is that better? You're still choking someone. Are you just choking someone not to death? It's like Heavenly. Like, that's fine. You can choke somebody. Just don't kill them.
Like, they should be like Shag, Mary, Cancel or something like that. Yeah, but the choke, I was like, you know, that's actually more violent, I feel like, in a weird way than just, because it's like, kill is almost abstract, but choke is like a specific image.
Yeah, agreed. So it was funny that they weren't playing this right the whole time, but they just kept going. They all took it. And so while they're doing this, they keep cutting back to the men. And every time, like, one person answers, then they cut back to the men. Yeah. And the men are just, they get on a bus.
Yeah, they drop by Squid Row.
The club area. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
And meanwhile, Simone, she also, it's her own game. And she's like, well, I don't have anyone that I want to shag, marry, kill, but there's someone I want to hang out with, Snoop Dogg, but only if he doesn't fire up a joint. I'm like, well, okay, well, that's not going to happen. And also, no one likes a game called Who Do You Want to Hang Out With?
Yeah, that's not even a game.
Yeah, it's that's like, just like, a, hang out it's with? Like, it's a game called Passing Thoughts. Today we're going to play a game called Passing Thoughts. Hey, Contessa, you have a passing thought about anything?
Yeah, why do they have why do they never mind, I couldn't think of that. God, I don't even have
you can't
a
play passing pot.
I'm a sad person. I couldn't even play that game.
No, my thoughts generally don't pass. They usually just stay behind the slow driver and wait for them to get to take a side street.
Yeah, my thoughts don't pass, they fester. And I don't think I need to share that with anybody.
Anyway,
so the guys are going to the club area, and of course Cecil's taking them to the strip club, and yeah. Curtis goes, wait a minute, there's girls with no clothes on here.
Yeah, and as if he doesn't know what each and every strip club in Cabo is. And so they show up at this place, and they get seated upstairs, and Curtis has like the cat that ate the canary smile. I mean, his smile is so huge. And Damon looks terrified because he's, in his mind, he's thinking, oh God, they're going to shoot us with strippers and then they're going to make our wives come in. I know this is going to happen. Like, he is already. And David is like trying to be at ease. He's trying to be like, no, I am very comfortable with these gentlemen I barely know at a strip club. All right, I'm a cool guy right now. I'm just going to sit here like Rodin's thinker. There, that's a casual pose.
Yeah, and then back with the ladies, Heavenly's like, Abra Chuck, Terrence Howard, he could get it. And Mary, can I say Jesus? And Joy goes, really? You want to marry Jesus? You want Jesus to tell you about yourself? Goodbye.
I think they're like conflating Mary Shagkill with like the dinner party game. Like, this is not how Mary Shagkill works, okay?
But that is funny. You want Jesus to tell you about yourself? Yeah. Just getting into a marital fight with Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, come on, barefoot all the... What, am I going to wash your feet every day of our marriage? Come on.
And then Jackie is like, well, I would shag Will Smith. Will Smith getting a lot of love tonight. And she goes, I would marry Barack Obama. Great choice. And then she goes, and I would choke Tiger Woods. And everyone's like, Tiger Woods? She goes, because Curtis is watching golf all the time. I'm like, oh, I thought it was because Tiger Woods like cheated on his wife like 25 times and you resent that. Yeah. But okay, also that Curtis likes golf. That's fine too.
I know, but they were shocked that she would say Tiger Woods. I was like, Tiger Woods, I mean, I know it's been a while. We forgive people and everything over time, but still, like, why are you looking like it's so crazy that she picked Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods earned that spot.
Yeah, he did. So guess what? Strippers, and Aiden's trying not to look, but of course he's looking. And then because there's, like, no content for this episode, we have, like, a lingering shot of a pole dancer for, like, 20 seconds, just watching this woman writhe on the pole.
All I could really see was the Gather font on the wall. They were writing sexy things in Gather font, and that was just cracking me up. I was like, I love that they brought this to the strip clubs in Mexico.
And I like that this was, like, a full-on strip club. You know, it was they, like, this dancer, like, Curtis, first of all, again, his tongue is literally hanging out of his mouth. And this one dancer just comes up to Daddy and she's like, you want the sex? You want sex? He's like, no, no, I can't. Aye, 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 Poppy. No, I'm Daddy, not Poppy.
And the producers are such assholes. They're like, okay, just attack that one right there.
You
give
know
him
that.
Lap dances, sit on his face, do whatever you can. Only that one. Because they were just on him the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was like him or Aiden, right? So then back at the beach, it's like, who would quad marry? And Kamala's like, Common. Common apparently went to the sister circle, and then Heavenly basically says that Common and Quad fucked.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, well, she already fucked him, so I guess the only thing left to do is like marry him or choke him. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, did I have permission to share that? And Quad goes, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, he's dating someone right now.
Like, so I would never. I would never. He's too busy doing commercials about AI for IBM. Commercials that play incessantly that no one likes, but they play all the time and you just want to turn it off, but there he is again, so he's saying, AI controls the future. Shut up, Common, in that commercial. I hate it. Do you know that commercial?
Common in that commercial.
Oh my God, it's driving me nuts. It's like Common, it's like been playing for like 2 years. It's like you'll be just watching TV and then there's Common walking on a stage going, AI, it's what controls the future. It's what opens up doors and closes classes. And da 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 da. I'm like, no, Common, please stop rapping at me about AI. You're too hot to be annoying me this much.
Oh. So then we go back to the strip club, and I just put, wow, the strip club has Candy's furniture. Did you notice that? It's all a different color, but it's Candy's furniture, basically. Oh, it's not that bright purple, but it's all that, like, tufted couches and high-backed tufted chairs and stuff.
I wonder who designed the house and if he had been at Cabo right before that happened.
Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's like, do I have a choice in couches? I have a choice in couches.
You know what? By the way, side note, I tried watching, you know, my least favorite HGTV show, Hometown. I tried to hate watch it last night, and like within a minute, I had to turn it off. I was like, I cannot deal with this show. It's so awful. Just speaking about decor, I could.
Yeah, that show's not good. Also, that one with Chip and Joanna, like, that is one of the most depressing fucking shows. Like, they seem so miserable to me, and I keep watching it.
Well, guess what? They have a whole network.
It never ends.
They have a whole network coming up, so there you go.
Oh, God. Okay, so Daddy is, like, putting his hands in the air, refusing to touch the stripper, right? He's like, someone else, please get a dance. Someone else, please. And then she takes off her bra and puts it over his eyes. He's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's in trouble. So it's the next morning, and people are waking up, and there's a lot of, like, you know, Buffy cam again, and David sleeping in bed. And, of course, Aiden tells Mariah right away that they went to a strip club, or he calls it a gentleman's club. And
yeah,
the ladies start to text each other, did you know they went to a strip club, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and then Simone is like, you should be ashamed, whatever. So let's get to the important part. Heavenly goes to wake up Daddy, and she comes in with two glasses of juice, and she's like, Daddy, wake up, time to get up, Daddy. Oh, so good to see you, Daddy, time to get up, Daddy. And it's like, he's dead. Just the way that she brought him juice. That high-pitched squeal that she has,
Yeah. So she's like, so how was your dinner last? What was last night? What'd you guys do? He's like, oh, we went to dinner.
Oh, really? Until 2 a.m.? Really, Daddy? Really, really?
And he's like, well, it was a strip club.
Oh, so you had some hoes? Is that what it was, Daddy? Dad, did you have some hoes? You had some hoes? Did you see nipples? Did you see nipples?
He's like, I don't know, buddy.
Oh, yeah, it's so disturbing how he talks to her, especially when she's mad. I don't know, buddy. Oh, this is nipples. This is Mariola's breast, coochie. What you see, Daddy? And he's like, no. And then there's clips of him seeing every single one of those things, you know?
He's like, well, they sat down.
Oh, sitting on what?
My lap.
Oh, Daddy.
It was... I actually felt like the scene felt a little fake. I'm not going to lie. I felt like it was...
yeah.
It was did not feel like an authentic thing, but it still was fun.
Yeah, it was fake, but I still liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like people who say, oh, housewife shows are so fake. I'm like, really? You don't think this is real when there's like 10 cameras surrounding two people fighting in a Chili's or whatever? Yeah. You think this is fake? Are you kidding me?
Like, really? I mean, they clearly just woke up and they went to sleep with all that makeup on. So, yeah, Heavenly's like, you had a bitch on your leg. And so now they're fighting, and then she, like, leaves, and he's like, where are you going? You look nice, buddy. You look nice.
Yeah, and she goes, I bet that bitch looked nice.
You look better, buddy. You look better.
So then Jackie comes over to Simone's because they are taking supplies to the, you know, to the less fortunate.
Yes.
Yeah, as they do on these trips, which is nice. And so they're making all these bags, and oh gosh, so Heavenly comes over.
And her voice is higher than it's ever been. She's like,
oh, what's going on over here? You guys are, oh, this is good. You know, people always need condoms, especially if they go to the strip club.
Someone goes, why would you need condoms at a strip club? You don't sleep with strippers. I was like, oh, Simone. Oh, sweet, sweet summer Simone.
I mean, that woman did ask Daddy if he wanted sex, so, you know.
Yeah.
Jackie tells us she wasn't bothered that Curtis went because he's gone before. I was like, he also cheated on you, so.
Yeah, she's like, he's done worse.
No, she's happy because the cameras were there. If he was going to, that's exactly when she wants him to go to strip club, when the camera's on him and she can watch him and he can't get into trouble.
Yeah, although that face he was making the whole time should get him in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So then Heavenly's mad. Heavenly seems mad at the ladies for setting up the strip club thing, right? She's like,
what time did your man get home?
And they're like 2 o'clock. And Jackie's like, is this how you act when things bother you, Heavenly?
It's They're like, so you're not bothered me? You're not bothered that Damon went,
it's all right.
They're like, so did Damon have a good time?
I don't know.
She is just getting like higher and higher and higher. I just don't like hoes. I don't like a bitch looking at him, but I hope he had a good time.
And then the producer is asking her, so you were angry?
No, I was not angry. I do not care.
And he's like, then why are you mad?
She's like, I'm not mad. Please move on. Can we move on, please? I'm about to get mad at you. Better move on. I'm going to get mad at you. All right, here. I don't like a whole ass in my husband's face. I don't like a whole ass in my husband's face. I just don't like it around.
That's just her brain just explodes.
Oh, God. And that brings us to the end of Married to Medicine.
You guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see a bunch of you guys Friday night in St. Louis. And then we'll see even more of you guys in Philadelphia. It's going to be such a fun weekend. And for those we don't see, we'll just, you know, talk to you on the old podcast. So thanks for so much for listening. And go to watchcrappins.com to get your merch and your tickets and whatever else you need. And thanks again to everyone who said that happy birthday to me. That was so nice of you. So everyone have a great, great day.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.